Hello and welcome to my first Leanness Lifestyle podcast. My name is David Greenwalt. I'm a fitness expert and body transformation author and coach. On this first podcast, you will hear me as I was interviewed by a company for their magazine. You'll hear about my humble beginnings in fitness and business. You will also hear how and why I created the foundation of Club Lifestyle, my online program for everything body transformation related.
So would you tell us a little about yourself?
Well, my name is Dave Greenwalt, and I'm 39 years old, married. I've been married for 17 years, have three great kids, and I've been involved in fitness, training, bodybuilding since I was 17 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Started very young.
Yes, I started my senior year of high school. Matter of fact, I can remember the first workout I ever did with a group of guys that were serious about what they do, and that was in August of 1982.
So that's when you first got involved in fitness?
Yeah, I always had an interest. I mean, even before my senior year, I would play a little bit with maybe some weights I had gotten for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Always enjoyed that pump and just the feel and the look, but never really got serious until someone who was very serious invited me to come work out with him at the local YMCA, which I did. And like I said, that was August 1982. I was 100, and I was 5'11 at the time, 140 pounds. And during my senior year, I put on about 30 to 35 pounds. And that's when I really, really got serious. It was my senior year in high school.
So when did you realize that you wanted to start coaching people?
Well, it was quite a long journey, you know, from my senior year in high school when you really don't know anything and you're just following the lead of other people who are bigger and stronger than you. I continued on. I had, you know, a lot of people, you know, like people who do this for life, you're going to have a lot of people in your life that are going to tell you that, you know, this is a phase or this is going to pass or you're going to burn out. And, you know, I had all of that. I could never imagine really that occurring, and it was my personality, and it was within me that it was really a part of who I was, and it just continued to become that way. And so I did continue to lift and train and try to eat the best I could, and at that time I was eating as much as I could because I was a hard gainer as far as putting on body weight. In high school and in my early 20s, I had really fast metabolism and had to eat a lot of food. But I continued on. I went to college. I competed in a bodybuilding show when I was in college. I absolutely hated it. I hated getting ready for the show, and I actually hated the actual competition itself because of how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really kind of my first rude awakening of, you know, what I thought I knew about getting ready for a bodybuilding show and cutting body fat versus what I really needed to know. And I didn't really understand at the time that there was this big gap. And, you know, I lived on boiled chicken breast and boiled peas made in my dorm room in college and, you know, doing things in that very, you know, Neanderthal way. It's not a wonder that I hated getting ready for the show and hated the actual competition. I actually swore at that time, which was 1986 or 1987, when I competed in that show, I swore that I'd never do another show as long as I lived. That's how bad I hated it. But
mm-hmm.
I loved lifting, and I loved the training, and I loved, you know, the fitness part of it. So I continued to do that. I never gave up with the lifting, and continued on. I was hired into the police profession, and after I graduated from college, and continued to train and got into powerlifting for about 5 years and competed in state and local powerlifting events, promoted as a meet director many powerlifting events. And I, in powerlifting, you know, there was a saying that, you know, it's not that we, you know, want to eat a pound bag of M&Ms, but you have to eat a pound bag of M&Ms to be a powerlifter. And so I ate and ate and ate. And as I got into my mid-20s, I found that I had a little easier time putting on weight. And I had really adapted some massive eating habits from trying to put on weight in my late teens and early 20s. And So I continued on in powerlifting, got really strong,
mm-hmm.
and again, just continued on. I was a police officer at the time. We owned a gym for a couple of years, and while I owned the gym, I trained hundreds of people and found that I really enjoyed that personal connection when I could help someone move up their fitness and improve their strength and lower their body fat. And just also found that I just really enjoyed working with people in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like any, you know, new business, you know, we had our business struggles, and I was hired by the Illinois State Police, so it was job change time, and that means that you're gone from home for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so we sold the gym. Then after I was hired by the state police, let me back up. Well, I own the gym. We sold some supplements out of the gym like most gyms do. And then when I was hired by the state police after I got through all of the training and got back home, I started Dave's Power Store, which was a dietary supplement company, and began selling supplements just out of the home and whatnot. And that company grew tremendously.
Oh,
and
great.
All during this time, I was training hard, continuing to, you know, lift and do moderate cardio. And it was my goal is to be as big and as strong as I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think as you can see, it continues to evolve. And now I've got some gym time under my belt and some personal training time under my belt. And I came back to not owning a gym, but came back to the supplement side of things, which still keeps you in touch with people who are also interested in changing their bodies. But, you know, I had ballooned up to about 200, my heaviest was 235 pounds, and I was probably about 26% body fat.
Oh, wow.
So when I say I learned the eating habits of putting on weight, you know, and being a big, strong, fat power lifter, I really learned those habits. I really learned how to eat to get that size. And I still had in the back of my head the very negative feelings that I had when I got ready for that first bodybuilding show back when I was in college. And when I, you know, as I continued to operate Dave's Power Store, one of the things that I did is I wrote a newsletter every month for my members. And I had to do a lot of research and reading and writing, and went to university libraries to look at medical journals and really just began the process of getting more and more knowledge for myself and for my members so that I could share with them the real message of, you know, what was on the cutting edge in science for nutrition and dietary supplements. That was my focus at the time because I owned a dietary supplement company.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I also went back to college and took some more biology, anatomy and physiology, and nutrition courses,
mm-hmm.
because it was just something that I wanted to explore more and wanted to have a deeper understanding of so that I could be better at helping my Dave's Power Store customers with their nutrition and supplement habits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I continue to write and research for my newsletter, and I go back to college and I get the advanced courses that I had been missing the first time I went through and really get a deeper understanding of exactly, you know, how the body works, all of this knowledge is, you know, continuing to accumulate, and it's really building. And so I had decided that I was tired after about 5 years of powerlifting. I was tired of being fat and heavy, even though I was strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided it was time to cut down. So I used the new knowledge I had and the research that I had done and just the new knowledge of how the body works,
mm-hmm.
to sensibly create a program to cut my own body fat from 26% or so down to about 9%.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was that it wasn't anything like the first time that I did it. It was so much easier, and it was just completely different than when I got ready for my bodybuilding show back in college. And, you know, as I say, it's amazing what can happen when you have the right knowledge and you can apply it in the right way. And that's really, it was an awakening for me. Well, at that time, we were publishing a magazine through Dave's Power Store, and it was called the Health and Performance Marketplace. It's no longer being published, as I found out how hard it is to publish a magazine. And but it was a, you know, it was a very informative, scientifically based a magazine. And I published an article after I had cut my body fat down. And what I did was, after I got to 9%, I held there for about 6 months. Then I decided I wanted to do a bodybuilding show again. Now we're up to about 1998.
Okay.
And when I got ready for the bodybuilding show, I was taking my body fat down from about, maybe 9 or 10%. And of course, to do a bodybuilding show as a man and come in shape, you need to come in around 5%.
Right.
So I decided to use all of the knowledge that I now had, and publishing all of the material that I had, and now a magazine, and just all of the research I had done, and all of the new knowledge I had gained by taking my own body fat from 26 to 9%, and really applied it, and really started to question at that time the things that were being said about what it takes to get ready for a bodybuilding show. For example, you know, anyone who's ever gotten ready for a bodybuilding show or has talked to anybody who's gotten ready for a bodybuilding show has heard, probably heard that, you know, you live on like five foods.
Right.
You know, chicken, turkey, broccoli, cauliflower, you know, maybe sweet potato, maybe brown rice. The rest is up for grabs. And then there's the things like you need to cut your water out, you know, 3 days before. You need to, you know, cut all sodium out 2 weeks before. You never want to eat a piece of wheat bread ever because it can raise estrogens. Just all of these things that just made no sense. I mean, physiologically, they made no sense. And even though they were, folklore, they were, just a part of the mainstream belief of people that got ready for shows. Scientifically, I couldn't make any sense out of it. So I decided to not make any sense out of it and just to apply scientific principles and the new knowledge that I had gained to my own bodybuilding transformation, which is taking myself, again, from 9 or 10% down to 5%. And I did. I did. And I did it sensibly. I did it eating a wide variety of foods. I did it eating fruits. I did it eating lots of vegetables. I did it eating breads. I did it eating lean meats. I did it eating a number of things that were supposedly off limits for people getting ready for a show. I did come in at 5% body fat. I had a good time. I did not hate the process. The process was not hard. And even though it took a lot of effort and concentration and focus, it was nothing like when I did it with too little knowledge way back when I was in college. And so that was really an epiphany for me. And in truly being able to, you know, apply real scientific knowledge and principles to the process of getting ready for a bodybuilding show, which, you know, as you know, there is no event, no athletic event that anyone is ever going to do where it requires a body fat lower.
Right.
You know, bodybuilding, there's no sport where you have to have a lower body fat than for bodybuilding.
Right.
So to be able to do that and not hate the process, after swearing I'd never do it again, and to be able to do that and not have some great genetic gift for a low body fat, which I do not. I have an incredibly average metabolism. I have an incredibly, you know, probably average ability to put on muscle. And if I overindulge, I balloon up. I balloon up very quickly. And so I put myself, it was nice because I really felt that I was a lot like everybody else. I wasn't some gifted person who was going to have a low body fat and could, you know, literally have a sausage and McMuffin on the way to the show. That just wasn't me.
Right.
So to be able to put myself in the shoes of the average person, I think was kind of a gift in that I wasn't gifted. You know, I mean, that sounds weird, but it was a gift not to be gifted.
Right.
Because what it's helped me do in the long run is help a lot more people by being able to truly put myself in their shoes and understand where they're coming from. So I did that show, and I wrote an article for the next magazine, and the title of the article was Bodybuilding Competition Becomes a Leanness Lifestyle.
Okay.
And the point of that article was, I just did a show, but as I finished the show, I couldn't honestly come up with answers to questions like, why shouldn't I, give or take a little, eat this way and train this way for life? Because I didn't do the typical bodybuilder diet. I didn't live on four foods. I didn't starve myself.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, you know, beat myself to death with cardio. And I still got incredibly lean, and I was incredibly healthy. And I didn't cut my sodium out 2 weeks before, and I didn't, you know, cut my water out 3 days before. And I didn't do these really kind of foolish things that just kind of continue to live on in bodybuilding competition. And so I really started to think more lifestyle, because the things I had done to get ready for the show were really just intelligent, healthy lifestyle guidelines. And that's really where the Leanness Lifestyle was born. And so as I, you know, kind of continue on here, I did the show, wrote the article. It was incredibly well received, and the people were so thankful to finally have a sensible approach to getting, you know, to getting really lean, because they were so used to, you know, hearing chicken breast, broccoli, tuna, brown rice, cut your water out, cut your sodium out, don't eat bread. That to finally see a sensible approach backed up with a scientific foundation, they just really, really loved it. So that kind of fed me even more where the coaching club or the coaching aspect really began to evolve. Was really kind of a meeting I had with a friend, and the Power Store, Dave's Power Store, was just really doing incredibly well, and we were just really just you know, knocking them dead, so to speak, in the business sense, and just really servicing our customers well, and sales were wonderful. But I within me still had this, I don't know, an unsettled feeling that I wasn't doing all that I could or all that I was capable of. I was, yeah, we were shipping a lot of supplements and good prices and good service and good quality, you know, this, that, and the other. And that business was really doing well, but I still felt there was just something missing. So in a conversation with a friend, he was telling me how good it must feel for me that I've helped so many people, you know, change their lives and do this and do that. And it really hit me hard, and not in a good way. Because even though, you know, through our supplement company, we had really, honestly, boxes and boxes of letters and postcards and testimonials and emails and everything telling us how good we were, and in a number of different ways with the supplement business, you know, my testimonials were more like, hey, thanks for the savings. Thanks thanks for the super fast shipping. Thanks for the, you know, the protein powder. I wouldn't have been able to, you know, whatever without my protein powder. Thanks for the great customer service. And that's when it really hit me. That's not what I was meant to do. You know, that's it. You know, it's great in running a business to have those kinds of testimonials. But that's why I realized at the time, that's why I felt unsettled, because I really did feel within me I had much more to give than, you know, low prices and great customer service.
Right.
So really and literally after that meeting with a friend, I knew I had to write the book.
Please make sure you are subscribed to the Club Lifestyle Podcast so you don't miss any of my podcasts in the future. More information about the Leanness Lifestyle, my products and services, and more can be found at www.leannesslifestyle.com. That's www.leannesslifestyle.com. or simply look for Club Lifestyle in the iTunes podcast directory. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Next episode, I'll talk about how Club Lifestyle was really created, how it came into its own, and what I really do for members there. Until next time, remember, nothing tastes as good as living lean feels. And most of a great body transformation isn't hard, it just is.